नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम 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 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्री भगवान उवाच। एतो सुरेतरचतिं प्रतिपद्य सद्यः संरम्भ संवृत समाध्यनुबद्ध योगौ भूय सकाशमुपयास्य आशु यो वा शापो मयैव निमितस्तदवेत विप्राः।
In every narration in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many, many important philosophical points to be understood. In this story, the point of devotees falling from the material, from the spiritual world to the material world, is a point that has become one of much discussion. But there are many other important points also. One important point which is much conducive to the development of devotional sentiments, devotional service, is the understanding that the Lord always protects His devotees. Even if they apparently go against Him, or even if they do fall from the spiritual world, the Lord always protects His devotees. Kaunteya pati janihi name bhakta pranashyati. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states, He tells Arjuna to tell that my devotee is never vanquished. He asked Arjuna to tell it because sometimes Krishna, His own word, He may not keep His own word. Because for Krishna, maintaining His devotees is more important than anything. For Krishna, protecting His devotees, He considers this as His foremost duty. And even if He has to break the principles of worldly morality to do that, He will do that. And there are many examples in the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna told Arjuna, kill Karna, when he was fallen, when he was down from his chariot, which was against the principles of fighting. But Krishna wanted to see that the Pandavas would win this war. And Karna was almost impossible to kill otherwise. Of course, Karna protested. At that time, Karna protested, this is against the rules. You shouldn't do this. So then Krishna gave so many examples how Karna had violated the rules of morality. And only because of this, because of Karna and others violating the rules of morality, had they come to such a situation where such a ghastly war took place anyway. So tit for tat, Krishna gave Karna. Duryodhana also was vanquished by such a means. But therefore we might think that Krishna, His word is not very good. Actually, Krishna's word, His promise is very good. But the most important thing for Krishna, more than any principles of morality that we might conceive of in our material way of thinking, is maintaining, protecting His devotees. So Krishna told Arjuna, Kaunteya pati janihi name bhakta pranashyati. You, Arjuna, you declare it to the world that my devotee is never vanquished. Because if the devotee says, people may trust it more, even though Krishna says. So the devotee is never vanquished. Now, this may seem very strange because throughout the Bhagavatam, we hear stories of devotees who go through many difficulties. This story of Jayan Vijay being cursed leads us into different pastimes, one of them being the pastimes of Nrisimhadev, Bhagavan, destroying Hiranyakashipu. Now, Hiranyakashipu, why was he destroyed? Because he was so mean towards his son Prahlad. And why was he so mean towards his son Prahlad? Mean doesn't just mean that nowadays we have so many cases of child abuse where the father or others may beat the child. But he was trying to kill his child in so many ways. For the crime, as he conceived of it, Prahlad's crime of being a devotee of Lord Vishnu, who was a family enemy, as Hiranyakashipu conceived it. So Prahlad went through so many difficulties, and at the end, the Supreme Lord appeared and vanquished Hiranyakashipu. And there are so many examples. Krishna told Arjuna, Kaunteya Pratijanihi Nami Bhakta Panashati. You declare it, Arjuna. My devotee is never vanquished. But the Pandavas, of whom Arjuna was one, they went through so many difficulties. Their whole life was simply full of difficulties. That Queen Kunti, she told that to Krishna. When he went, our whole life was full of so many difficulties. She declared that to Krishna. So many things we went through. There was Vishanahadne Pushada Darshanata Satsabaya Vanavasakrita Mrade Mrade Nekam Haratashita Jonas Jonashita Chasmahari Lakshita. She gave in one verse a summary of the most severe difficulties the Pandavas had been through. That Bhima was given poison. Bhima was the most powerful of the Pandavas. So the Kauravas thought, if we can kill Bhima, then we can finish off the others one by one without too much trouble. So Bhima was poisoned just when he was just a boy. Wasn't even fully grown. Then there was some plot to burn the Pandavas. Then they were roaming in the forest and some massive man-eating demon. They had to face that. Purushada Darshanat Asat Sabha. The Asat Sabha, the court of the Kauravas, in which the Pandavas were cheated of their kingdom. Then they had to live in the forest for 12 years incognito, even though they were the famous and powerful as the emperors of the world. They had to live like beggars, not only beggars, but as fugitives in the forest. Then they had to fight in the great battle in which the Kauravas had superior forces and superior soldiers. Even though Bhima and Arjuna were great warriors on the Pandava side, on the Kaurava side, there were many greater warriors. Bhishma, Drona, just these two in themselves were sufficient to, even one of them, normally they were sufficient to vanquish all the forces of the Pandavas single-handedly. What to speak of others like Shalya, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Duryodhana himself, very powerful warriors. But Krishna protected this Kunti Devi. And even she said, Krishna, you always protected us, Krishna. Even after the battle was over, the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama came to destroy the last male progeny in the womb. In the womb of Abhimanyu's wife. So in so many ways, the Pandavas had to go through so many difficulties. And we read in the Bhagavatam, difficulty after difficulty. Ambarish Maharaj had to suffer from the oppression of Durvasa Muni. There are so many difficulties. So we may wonder, and how is it that Krishna is protecting his devotees? How is it that he is maintaining his devotees? What's the use of being a devotee of Krishna if you have to go through so many difficulties? Let me ask that. That's why sometimes in India people, they recommend that you worship Devi, Durga, throughout your life, and then you can enjoy life. And at the end of life, you worship Krishna, then you can get moksha, you can get liberation. Sometimes people say like this, enjoy now, and get free from all suffering later. But the actual fact is that Durga, her very name is synonymous with a fortress in which you are bound up by unlimited material desires. And even though you may try to be happy and think you are enjoying, actually you are suffering. This is the story of America. America is a big fortress of Durga where everyone is thinking they are enjoying or they are pursuing the American dream of happiness. And it's a dream. It's really a dream. Because where is the happiness? Where is the happiness in a place where you have to suffer repeated birth, death, old age and disease? There's no happiness. Or even if you think, all right, I'll die later, but I'll enjoy now. There's no enjoyment. The paradox of material life is that the more you try to enjoy, the more you suffer. Chintama parinayancha. Lord Krishna has already described in the Bhagavad Gita. He has summarized the American dream. Chintama parinayancha. Unlimited anxieties. Simply full of anxieties and puffed up thinking, we're the greatest country in the world, flying the American. Stars and stripes flying everywhere. What does that mean? We are the greatest. It's like Muhammad Ali. I am the greatest. Because of the ability to pummel others into dust. And therefore puffed up. But what is the value? Simply, you see, just like the dogs, you see. Of course, I think in America, maybe they're more controlled, but in other countries, you see the dogs. They run around in a group, and they bark. And they show their teeth at each other. And who can frighten the other dogs more? Who's the biggest dog? Then he's the leader of the pack, and he runs out with his tail up in the air, and his tongue, like this, puffed up, I'm the biggest dog. So like this, people are puffed up. We are the greatest. We are the greatest nation in the world. But this is just one big illusion. Even if you are the greatest nation in the world, so what? It's a tiny planet, in a tiny universe, and you're all going to die in a few days anyway. And then you may come back as an American dog or cat. Or if you're more unfortunate, you'll come back as an American cat to be slaughtered in the way you have slaughtered previously. So this is the big dream, that we will be happy in this material world. And it's not only in America, everywhere. Even now again, the news is focusing on Kampuchea, where that Pol Pot, he was massacring his own men, his own people. So even there, you can be sure the people are trying to enjoy, even though it's just like hellish condition. Everywhere in the material world, everyone is trying to enjoy, even the cockroaches, you see. Such a nasty looking creature. What kind of sinful activities do you have to do to become a cockroach? But they're also enjoying. Maybe you don't have experience here, but in India in some places we see that when you go to Pastur, then the cockroaches who are living there, they come out. Oh, time for lunch. They become enthusiastic. And, oh, now our meal has come. Fresh delivery, just like you have hot delivery, pizza, to your home. So they have fresh delivery to their home. So they're enjoying. They're thinking it's very nice. Let us enjoy. This is Durga, bound up by illusion. Let us enjoy. And now you're enjoying hot pizza. And next life, you'll enjoy hot stew. This is material life. You're bound up by the illusion of enjoyment. So the devotees, they go through some difficulties. But the non-devotees, they also go through unlimited difficulties. Ashesha klesha nishesha. Unlimited, unending difficulties. This is the whole story of material life. Shesha, what is that? Shesha, Shesha, Nishesha. There's one verse, again in Kunti's presence, I'm not remembering. That Kunti Devi says that this whole material world, everyone is suffering unlimited difficulties, spurred on by lust, because of lusty desires. Everyone is trying to enjoy this material world, even though they are suffering. So the devotees, they are superficially put in some difficulties. Just like Jaya and Vijay, they had to become, first of all, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. Then again, they had to become Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And again, they had to become this Dantavakra and Shishupala. But then again, they went back to Krishna. So they had to go through some difficulty of leaving the spiritual world to go to the material world. But that difficulty for a devotee, that is purifying. Even for the non-devotees, it's purifying, because by suffering in this material world, they may eventually come to the realization that this material world is miserable. It's actually not a very difficult thing to realize. It's a very easy thing to understand. But the nature of Maya is that even many, just like many times we may meet people and especially if they're going through, they're not going through an enjoying phase of their life. An enjoying phase of their life means they suffer less, and they have more of an illusion of enjoying. But many times you meet people and say, you can say to them, oh, actually material life is miserable, and they'll agree. And then right while they're talking with you, they'll strike up a cigarette. It means they're trying to enjoy it. They have a superficial understanding that this material world is miserable. But that understanding becomes compounded and realized when a person comes in contact with a devotee of Krishna and has the deep realization how miserable this material world is and has the positive alternative of going back home, back to Godhead, to live with Krishna. So in the association of devotees, that superficial understanding that this material world is miserable becomes realized as a fact when one gets a higher taste by serving Krishna. Because everyone's looking for happiness. And even though there's undoubtedly misery in this material world, because there's a little sensation of happiness, therefore people are addicted to the misery. Because within that misery there's a little happiness. Little relief. Just that sex life, that is the great antidote to material suffering, the pleasure of sex life. That in itself produces more and more suffering. But those who are blind, they cannot see this. And even if they can see it, they have no alternative. And because it is our nature to search for happiness, therefore we go on and on, searching for happiness. Just like that, psychologists have done some experiment whereby the monkey reaches for the banana. The banana is there. But when he goes to get the banana, some stick comes on his back, whoom, and beats him. But still he can't give up reaching for the banana because he thinks the banana is happiness for me. He knows that eating the banana gives some sensation of pleasure. So he's willing to tolerate the beating on the back so he can take the pleasure because he has no other source of pleasure. He doesn't know anything else. But a devotee, he gets a higher taste. Therefore, he can give up the lower taste. We cannot give up our taste for pleasure. But when we get a higher taste of a higher pleasure in Krishna's service, then we can easily give up the pale shadow of pleasure that is the so-called pleasure of material life. So then we may ask, then why do devotees go through so many difficulties? We're talking about pleasure, that Krishna consciousness is full of bliss. And then we read in the Bhagavatam about Jayan Vijay being cursed to leave the spiritual world, become demons. We read about Prahlad Maharaj coming through so many difficulties, Ambarish Maharaj coming through so many difficulties. So why is that? What is the value of worshipping Krishna if you get difficulty after difficulty? But the point is that, one point is that the devotees, they don't feel it as difficulty. They feel it as transcendental pleasure. The opportunity to serve Krishna in difficulty is more sweet than the opportunity to serve him without difficulty. That's why we see some devotees, they're always trying to make some arrangement where I can live very comfortably and then I'll be Krishna conscious. That's what they think. But the fact is that in this material world or in material consciousness, there is no perfect position. So you just come to the Kami's position of the materialists. If you're always trying to make some arrangement, and let make this better, and make that better, there's always some problem. So you'll spend your whole life trying to arrange your life so that it will be just comfortable and convenient. And you'll waste your whole life in that way because it'll never be properly comfortable and convenient. There'll always be some difficulty. That's the nature of the material world. But a devotee who takes all difficulties in Krishna's service, then he becomes full of transcendental bliss. Because Krishna reciprocates with that. You see devotees who just like those who go out to distribute books. It's difficult. No one's saying it's easy. Difficult physically, mentally, difficult to meet with people who are against the sense of Krishna consciousness or have no idea about it or who don't want to have any idea about it. It's difficult, no doubt. But giving people who don't have knowledge of Krishna, giving them this knowledge, and the devotee, by doing that, by taking the difficulty to do that, the devotee becomes blessed by Krishna with transcendental bliss. And sometimes, not always, sometimes on out on book distribution on the mental platform. What am I doing here? Why am I doing this? It's cold, miserable, people are nasty. You make it on the mental platform. So they're struggling. But then again, that struggle is the precursor to our coming again to our proper consciousness that I'm here to serve Krishna in all circumstances. And then the devotee, by that consciousness, by that Krishna consciousness of remembering that I'm here to serve Krishna in all circumstances, then he comes to the spiritual platform, and again he becomes linked in yoga with the spiritual energy of Krishna. Again he becomes bliss. He becomes full of bliss. And again he becomes able to do that service by being empowered by the spiritual energy. So this is the point, that the difficulty actually helps us to become more Krishna conscious. That's why Kunti Devi should pray, after listing all these prayers, all these difficulties that she went through, it wasn't just she was complaining, "Hey Krishna, you're God, what's the use? We went through so many difficulties." But she was complaining that, "I want more difficulties. Why don't you give me some more difficulties?" Vipada samtita shashva tatra tatra jagat yoro bhavata darshanam yatsyat apunabhava darshanam. She prayed that, let there be more difficulties, because there are more difficulties, then the whole situation becomes more intense. We can remember you more intensely. And by remembering you, Krishna, then we will see you, and if we see you, then we will no longer see repeated birth and death. So the difficulties for a devotee, they are a spur for him to make more advancement in Krishna consciousness and go back to Godhead. And another point is that the difficulties of a devotee, they're not like the difficulties of a materialist, which are his karmic reaction. But they are ordained by the Supreme Lord. One point is just to show the character of his devotees, that even though harassed in so many ways, they never give up their devotion to Krishna. They never lose faith in Krishna. Of course, a very neophyte devotee, he may give up his faith in Krishna in difficulty. Just like Prabhupada told his godbrother, Sadananda from Germany, told that in the war, so many men went to fight, not only men, even young boys went to fight for Germany. So the women were at home. Of course, nowadays they send the women to war too. That's women's liberation. That you can also go and fight in the battle. But in those days, they only sent the men to fight. So the women were at home praying, "Dear God, please send back our fathers, husbands, brothers and sons." But in most cases, the prayers were unsuccessful because the German army got wiped out. So then they all became atheists. We prayed to God to help us in our difficulty, and he didn't help us. So what's the use of believing in God? So that's a very neophyte attitude. But I pray to God, if he doesn't help me, then what's the use of believing in God? But one who is fixed in his service to Krishna knows that whatever difficulty I'm going through, that's Krishna's desire. He wants to, he's there, he wants to put me through that. So whatever his reason may be, he's got a reason. I may not understand it, but he understands it. He's God. I'm just a tiny little being. And a pure devotee, he thinks that I'm suffering my karmic reactions, even though a pure devotee doesn't suffer karmic reactions. But he thinks, if I'm suffering, that's because I must have been so sinful. So Krishna is just giving me a token of my due reaction. That's how a pure devotee thinks. Actually, he has no sinful reaction, but he thinks I'm very sinful. Therefore, I should be suffering more. He thinks Krishna is so kind that now I'm suffering, but actually I should be suffering much more because I'm so sinful. So Krishna is giving me some sinful reaction, just a little bit, just to remind me that this material world is miserable. Otherwise, if I wasn't given some suffering, I would fall into maya. This is how a pure devotee in his very humble way thinks. But anyway, whatever the difficulty, he thinks, let me go on serving Krishna. So with such an attitude, a devotee is guaranteed to go back to God. The devotee has the attitude that let me serve in all difficulties, Krishna. Tatena kampan susamichamana unjana ivatma pitam vipakam vidhagapadeva vihasamistha jiveta yo muktipade sadaya bhak. This Lord Brahma certifies that anyone who goes on suffering in this material world, but nevertheless goes on serving Krishna with his body, mind and words, thinking that I just have to suffer these simple reactions, but anyway let me serve Krishna. Such a person, by his attitude of devotion, is guaranteed to go back home and to go to. So a devotee, even though he may appear to suffer like the materialists, he doesn't. He's under the protection of Krishna. He's under the protection of Krishna's divine potency, his eternal, his internal potency. The pure devotees are protected by Krishna. So these stories from Bhagavatam show how the devotees, they're always under Krishna's protection. And the devotees should think like that. He should always think that I am under Krishna's protection. This is one of the symptoms of a surrendered devotee. He always thinks that because I am serving Krishna, surely Krishna will look after me. That is symptom of pure devotee. So this is an important point to be culled from this narration of Jaya and Vijaya being cursed by the sages. That even though they had to go down to the material world, they were never outside the protection of Krishna. So in the same way we should think, we're not just reading a story or we're not doing it to make some PhD thesis on this or that, but how does it apply actually to our lives? That just as Krishna is kind to Jaya and Vijaya, he keeps them under his protection, even though they've come to the most adverse situation. So in the same way, even though we are not in the same league as Prahlad Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, these great devotees, the same principle applies. That if we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will always protect us. That is the attitude of the devotee. By which, the devotee attracts the attention of Krishna, who then certainly will protect him. But if a devotee doubts the protection of Krishna, then Krishna won't protect him. Or he'll only protect as much as we have faith in Krishna. Just like Draupadi. She was calling out for Krishna's protection, at the same time she was trying to hold on to Vasari. I will also protect myself. If Krishna doesn't protect me, I'll protect myself. But her own protection, what could she do? Therefore ultimately she threw up both her hands and called out unreservedly for the protection of Krishna. At which point Krishna unreservedly reciprocated. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Please. What takes up Krishna consciousness? When does he come under the protection of the divine energy? From as soon as he begins his devotional service. You don't have to wait. As soon as you take up Krishna consciousness, you become under Krishna's special protection. And that special protection is manifested externally as the spiritual master who guides his disciples how to come to Krishna. Now you get the protection, the same point with Draupadi, you get the protection as much as you surrender. Just by putting on tilak you don't get Krishna's protection. That is, of course we say the prayers when we're putting on tilak for protection. But it's not just the tilak, but it's the attitude that goes with it. It's like you'll see in India there are many people who wear tilak, but for them it's a kind of business. They may be running a temple, and by putting on show of being a devotee, they get plenty of money. So they're not under Krishna's protection, just by wearing tilak, even though they may say the mantra for getting protection. But because there's no attitude of surrender to Krishna, because they want to use Krishna for their sense gratification, they don't get the protection of Krishna, even though they may externally appear to be devoted. So when we actually internally give ourselves to Krishna, then Krishna gives himself to us. Ditka kale bhakta kare atma-samarpan, shei kale krishna tare kare atma-sam. At the time of initiation, a devotee surrenders himself. At that time, Krishna considers that devotee to be as good as himself. So, initiation, the precursor to initiation is accepting the path of surrender. So as much as we surrender to Krishna, even from the beginning, even from day one, we enter the temple, as much as we have the attitude of surrender, that much Krishna reciprocates with us. Mahatma anastu mam partha, daivin prakriti mashtaha. Vajamti ananya manaso, yakva bhuta adhimanyayam. Krishna says in Gita that the great souls, great devotees, they're under the protection of the divine nature, because they, what are their conditions? Vajanti Ananya Manaso, because they fully engage in Krishna's service. Ananya, without any diversion. And they know Krishna to be all in all. So, as much as we come to that point, that much Krishna protects us. Devotee is not on the material platform. Even the neophyte devotee. He's empty. That Prabhupada writes in the first canto of Bhagavatam, he writes about the neophytes who are on the threshold of the house of devotion. It's, we can't say that we're fully in spiritual consciousness. We can't say we're fully in Krishna consciousness. At the same time, we're not in the material world. We're on the path back to Godhead. Any other question? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam.